And welcome back to The Locker Room, proudly brought to you by Telstra and the local branch, and Pete and the boys, Mornington and Rosebud. Jordan and I are going to have a bit of a chat to Alex Potts. How are you going, Alex?
Oh, not too bad, yeah.
That's the way. Now, last time we spoke, I reckon it was May, and you're about to head off to Turkey for part of the World Cup in archery, a member of the Australian recurve team.
And that's correct,
in fact, I reckon we had an interview, like we're doing at the moment, pre-recorded, and as it went to air, you were jumping on a plane and heading down to, I suppose, Ankara. I suppose that's where it went to.
Yeah, through Istanbul.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, let's go back and start with what that was like. You know, what's the flight like over there? Is it easier than some of the other flights you've had, or a bit of a challenge?
It's never really easy going on long haul internationals, but no, it wasn't too bad. I did the leg by myself because I flew in a day later than the rest of the team, so I kind of got there, got off the plane, put my bags away, and went to training, and then just totally collapsed that night. But no, it's not as bad as it has been on the long hauls.
All right, and then competing in the recurve, member of the team.
Yep.
And how'd the side go? Let's start with that, because I know you've done a lot since, so we'll just sort of work in order. I think it might be the best way to go.
Yeah, look, it all went pretty well. I was fairly happy. The start of my ranking round over there wasn't as good as I'd been shooting in practice. There was swirling winds coming through in the venue we were shooting in. It was pretty hard to predict. And in the second half, I got it together and climbed roughly 10, 15 places in the second half. My actual matches didn't go as well as I'd hoped. But as far as my ranking went, I was pretty pleased with that.
Now, I had a look at some of the results. I know Jordan's been looking at some of the results as well. It seemed to me you had a good win in round one, and that put you through to the top 24, unless I've misread that. That may have been one of the later events that happened.
Yeah, I had... that might have been the World Champs in Denmark.
Okay,
yeah.
Yep. So we'll talk a little bit more about those now, but just wondering about the experience of Turkey. Is that your first trip there?
Yeah, my first time in Turkey, yep. It was pretty good, pretty hot weather. Every day was over 30. There was never a still day.
Wow.
So it was tricky. You had to always kind of be on your toes and be ready to aim off for the wind, but otherwise was good experience.
Who won the event in Turkey?
Good question. Yeah. I can't actually remember. I'm going to put a guess and say someone from Korea, because that's usually the case.
Korea have had been very good, haven't they?
Yes.
In the last couple of years especially. Yeah.
Ranked number one. Archery.
Yeah, so ranked number one, and they had some red hot performances when you sort of go back and look at all of those things. So, and just recapping, because some of the other places you had done your archery prior to that, UK, Poland, China, Singapore, and now Turkey. I guess we tend to forget that you're not yet 20. It's coming up.
Not quite, no. Almost there.
And you've sort of delayed your university studies for a little while.
Yeah.
While you're having an onslaught to try to get into the Olympic side. But when you sit back and think, gee, look at all those different places I've been already, how do you reflect on those experiences?
You get something unique out of every one. I mean, little things like Shanghai. I learned a little thing about my timing. In Turkey, I learned how to aim off better in the wind. Things that you think you can do well in practice, and then you go to a tournament and then suddenly you have to do it or you're just going to fall apart.
Mm.
So things from a technical side, going to all these different places, you always get that little thing out of it. And from a tourist side, it's just nice to see different cultures, and sometimes the food isn't so good, but it's something different.
All right, so Turkey, team did pretty well.
Happy enough, yeah. Yep. For my second World Cup, I was pleased.
Mm. So, and just something Jordan and I were talking about off air, how many different rounds are there in the World Cup? It's more than just sort of going to one event, as some sports can be, isn't it?
Yeah, the World Cup is made up of four different events. Yeah. And then if you make the top seven after that, you'll go into the World Cup final. But yeah, they're all spread right across the year, unless it's an Olympic year, in which case it'll only be the three events.
Okay, so the next one was the one that you referred to in Copenhagen, again a member of the team. We saw something about you making the side and beating the veteran Matt Gray. Bit of an experience in itself, isn't it? Because Matt had already been at, what, four Olympics? Something along those lines.
I think three, yeah.
Three.
Yeah, three, that's correct. Yeah, Matt's been he's a bit of a legend in archery at the time he's been shooting for. It was, we actually got told in Turkey after we'd finished competing who was going to make the cut.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down and I said, oh yeah, you know, you've made the team. I thought, oh great, that's fantastic. And then walked upstairs and then went, Oh, right, okay. this is a big responsibility now with, you know, Olympic quota spots on the line. So it was great to make it, but the pressure was just on from there.
So, the three in the sides, Taylor Worth, Ryan
Tyak,
get the pronunciation right. And that one, good.
Ryan Tack's the world indoor champion.
Yes. Right? Yep. Yep.
And also Taylor Worth was part of the London 2012 Olympic side. So
yep.
That must be good to be part of that side with them.
Oh, absolutely. It's especially shooting in team environment and in practice sessions. It's very good to know that if you step up on the line, you're a little bit shaky and you're kind of not as central as you'd normally be with your scoring. You know, you've got two awesome shooters behind you to pick you back up. So it gives you a lot more confidence going into tournaments.
So when I was looking at, and this is the one I referred to before, was the Copenhagen one where you're matched up against other people from around the world and you had a good win in the first round. So is that how it works? It goes as the individuals go in there and then they look at the team later, or is there something special that happens to be part of the team event?
Copenhagen's different because World Cups you can send four archers. Yep. You can pick your best three for the team. For the World Championships, you can only send three.
Right.
But Copenhagen was the initial Olympic qualification tournament, so that was where you'd get your team spots from. So they gave, if you ranked in the top eight in teams, you'd automatically get a team quota spot. If you're failing that, you have to wait till World Cup 2 next year, which is, I think, about a month and a half before the Games.
Okay. And, of course, that was the end of July and the start of August that you were in Copenhagen and the team finished eighth, so therefore you got the three automatic qualifying spots
for
the Olympics, which is fantastic. So let's talk about that experience. What way might the Copenhagen one have been different to Turkey?
It was a lot more lead-up to it. I went... The rest of the team came back after Turkey. I went on from Turkey to Yankton for the Youth World Championships. So I was over there shooting, but the whole time I was kind of, my head was in Denmark, I guess, thinking about getting the quota spots. And then we left actually about a week and a half early for Denmark and trained in Italy at the AIS over there. Just the lead up and just everything was very much, we have to get these spots. But it was, yeah, it was great to deliver on the day.
How did you finish up in the youth championships for archery?
The youth championships, I was 17th. Was mostly pleased with the result. It was really difficult, windy conditions. Mm. So I was pleased with how I came out in the end.
And you referred to getting ready and the practice and that type of thing. Obviously, there's the technical training, which you've mentioned a couple of times, but perhaps let the listeners into some idea of what other training the archer has to do.
At the moment, because we've just, now we're going into Olympic trials coming up, at the moment I've probably doubled the amount of training I was doing, roughly. So at the moment, if I give you a rundown of this week, it's been, last 2 days I've shot around 600 arrows between the 2 days. It's about 5 hours of shooting a day. Starting getting back into running again, swimming again, gym work, Pilates for core stuff.
Mm.
Physio every week to make sure I haven't injured myself because it's very, very repetitive strain. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot. I'd probably spend a similar amount of time on the range as I do just conditioning myself for it.
So what's the gym work? What does that entail?
A lot of it, half of it's probably movement based. So a lot of it's just muscle awareness, being able to switch on muscles that you need. And then the other half would be strength and core based, so upper body and just balance and just being able to stand on the line and make the shot when you've got 40k an hour winds in your face. You've got to be able to keep those muscles active.
Have you received any major injuries over your career?
I've been super lucky. I haven't. I had a minor injury probably about a year and a half into the sport, but that was my fault. That was just poor technique I was using. But since then, I've learnt my lesson and been very, very careful not to up my weight too much or to stay very technically correct, I guess.
So is it back or shoulder? What's the bit that gives away?
Bit of everything, usually. Shoulder's pretty common. Back, not so much. And a lot of people just... they'd be amazed how many shooters go out there and have painkillers before they shoot.
Wow.
There's just too many people go up in weight, especially from a younger age, too quick. Whereas myself, I've shot the same weight for probably going on 4 years now. So I've been very, very cautious with that.
Now, just looking at the team, we've mentioned Ryan and Taylor and yourself. Taylor finished eighth in the at Copenhagen. Is Taylor worth a genuine medal opportunity, you think, in Rio, in Brazil?
Oh, he was a medal opportunity 3 years ago in London. He always is a very consistent performer internationally. So I guess it's just a matter of time before he has his day in the sun.
So it's and you put that down to obviously he's training like you have and he's been doing for many years. So does it become, you know, the big time? Okay, there's a big occasion and you step up and you do your best in the big occasion. Is it as simple as that, do you think, or do you think there are other factors involved?
It's a game of millimetres. It can come down to a one-hour shoot off for a medal and someone's 2 millimetres closer and they win. So it's very much who can just pull it out and perform on the day. But yeah, if you put in the preparation and you get your scores up to a certain level, there's, you know, everyone that goes to these World Cups and World Championships is good. Everyone can win. So it's just who's on their day.
I heard that you got an Australian Sports Hall of Fame scholarship recipient. When did you receive this award?
That was 2011 when I got that one. It was quite an honour.
That must be one of the greatest honours you've ever achieved.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was great.
You were about 15 then, weren't you?
Yes, I was pretty young there. Yeah. First time I ever worn a tux, so that was an experience. But no, that was a real honour.
And where they hold that award ceremony?
That was in Crown.
Okay.
So we stayed there overnight as well, which is pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Good breakfast the next day.
And also you've won the last 5 best all-around male recurve awards dating back to 2010. Are you a chance for this year's award?
We've had this year's earlier in the year, so that's, I believe, it could be 6. I've lost track.
Yeah,
so then we'll have, early on next year will be my last chance to shoot in the Youth Nationals. Cool. But depending how Olympic trials go and when trials are scheduled, I may not even get to go. So we'll see. We'll play it by ear. Obviously, Olympics is the priority.
Yeah. And you're in the three for the World Cup. We mentioned that. Does that mean you're definitely in the Olympics team, or they've still got a time before they announce that?
No, everything has gone back to zero now. Yeah. So we've qualified the spots. So we have the best chance of doing it. The Olympic selection criteria came out yesterday.
Yep.
And so we've got until January to get 3 base scores.
Yeah.
So I've got 2 of those so far and just need the 3rd one.
Yep.
And then from there, there's a whole series of trials and camps to pick the best 3.
So what's the base score that you require?
The score is 640.
Mm-hmm.
So I shot one in Colombia at World Cup 4, and I shot another one at a local QRE the other week.
Okay. So just let, again, our listeners know, 640, how do you get to 640?
Well, roughly 640, so you shoot 72 arrows at 70 metres in 6-hour lots. A score of 648 is an average of 9, so that's the outer gold circle. You hit that 72 times, you get a 648.
Yep.
So it's basically hit that enough to get within 8 points of it, to put it simply.
And your highest score in that situation so far has been?
In practice, it's just over 680. In tournament, I believe it's 666 or 667.
Okay, that's very interesting, isn't it? I'd be happy if I got a couple actually on the whole target. I'd be very pleased with myself. We'd probably put a photo of Michael Voss on it and we'd try and hit that, get Vossy. We love Vossy like that. So what happens next for you? What are the next few months up to, well, you said January is a target time. What happens? We have more tournaments or...?
I go to Nationals next week down in Morwell, which isn't part of Olympic selection, but it's a good chance to kind of see where you're going among the top guys. From here on out, it's just full-time shooting up until Olympics. Just put 100% to the trials to see how I can go.
Is there also any other young recurve athletes coming up like yourself? You're still young. Is there any other ones that you sort of competitive? Yeah.
There's definitely a few that... can certainly push the boundaries. In Victoria, we have Ben Howell, who shoots up in Oakley, and he trains at the same club as me and is very much, if not this year's, next year's Olympics, will be a real contender for Tokyo.
How old is he?
He is 17.
17, so okay. Very young. That's very young. Yeah. Upcomer.
In fact, it's great to see so many people like yourself and him under the age of 20, being right up there at that high level. That's a very positive thing for the sport. Now, if people want to get involved in sport, not just wishing you the best of luck, if someone wanted said, oh, look, that sounds pretty interesting, his archery stuff, where would they go, Alex?
I'd recommend the club I train at the moment, which is Angel Archers in Balnarring.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great come and try program there. The other club I train at is AIM Archery Club in Cheltenham, and they also have great come and tries, beginners courses, and that's an indoor club. So you don't have to stand out in the rain and the wind if you don't want to.
All right. And they can just look, go to Archery Victoria website and look up local clubs
as
well.
That's correct, but, yep. Just Google Archery Victoria and it'll point you in the right direction.
All right. But Balnarring and Cheltenham would be two that you'd suggest worth having a crack
at. Absolutely, yep.
Look, thanks very much for joining us, Alex. We'll follow your career with interest, and best of luck between now and January. No doubt we will chat between now and Rio, and we'll wave you off on the plane when you head off.
Yeah, cheers.